I'm continuing a sermon that I started last week about how God is a faithful God unto us. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we may get discouraged. I mean, you know how that is. You know, maybe you thought something would work out this way and it doesn't, and you felt you heard the Spirit of the Lord tell you this, and maybe it didn't work out that way. And you know, just sometimes, you know, as Christians, even children of the living God, we get discouraged. But we always have to remember what the Word of God says, that our God is a faithful God, no matter what. That when God says something, that He means it. That I can stand upon the faithfulness of God as a Christian. Just as a Christian. I can stand upon the faithfulness of God as a pastor, because God has called me to preach the gospel and to pastor a church. That I can stand on the Word of God, that He is faithful no matter what. No matter what triumphs I have in my life, no matter what depths of despair sometimes that you have in life, that God is still faithful no matter what. That the Word of God says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You see? But the devil and even ourselves, they will try to discourage us in our walk with the Lord. And sometimes we may not look at the faithfulness of God on how faithful He really is to us. Last week I talked about how faithful God was to David. And how David became a giant killer. And how we need to kill those giants that are in our lives, that are there, by the Spirit and anointing and power of Almighty God. You see? And so how God Almighty is faithful in all areas of our lives, people, even as David walked out and his brothers tried to discourage him and tell him, no, you can't kill that giant. No, you can't do that. When God calls you, it is done. Huh? When God calls you to do something, it is done by the Spirit of God. Now, we may not see the evidence of it, maybe, on the outside physically, what we might see. But when God calls us to do something and He speaks something to us, we know it is done because God said it. When God speaks a word to us, it is done. No matter what happens, people. You know, I keep going back to that scripture in Psalms. Amen. Let go of this man. He can see me now. Okay. He's doing well. Amen. Good job. But I keep going back to that scripture where the Lord says, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Ooh. And I keep telling the Lord every morning, Lord, I'll take the heathen, no matter what. Now, you know, when He talks about heathen, that means just unbelievers. And that means when you said, Lord, I'm going to take the heathen, if we ask Him for our inheritance, that means you've got to help clean them up. It's not easy. But the Spirit of God can do it, because He knows what to do. You see, we got to stand upon the Word of God. Anybody in your family that doesn't know the Lord, that's God calls them a heathen because they're not serving the true Messiah. But God says all we got to do is ask Him for it. How easy is that? Lord, I'm asking for it. I mean, that's from the people around your house to your family to around the world, Lord, whatever it takes. That He will give us those things that He promised us in His Word, if we will hold on to that Word. His Word is true, people, no matter what. no matter how we feel, no matter what we think, no matter what's going on in our hearts and lives, God's word is true no matter what. And David, the giant killer, my God, the little boy, little, 15 years old, young boy, young, said, I'll go after that giant. He's kind of recapping some things. We know the end of the story, but David didn't know. If he knew God, if God had spoken to him and said, and told him it would have taken only one rock, David would have picked up one rock. One. But he knew he had killed the lion and the bear. And he knew he was not going to let Goliath stand there and curse God. Curse the children of Israel. And he said, I'll go after him. And they tried to put the armor on him and all this stuff. And he said, I'm going after him, Lord. I know you with me. God had commissioned him. Picked up five rocks. And people say all kind of stuff about the five rocks, but and he started out there with one and started running after the giant. Don't run away from the giants. Don't run from them. Don't run from the problems. Don't run from them. Don't run from the things that could destroy you. Don't run from them. Could destroy them. But I tell you what, when you run towards your problem with God, God can make a way where there seems to be. That's the kind of God we serve. That's faith in our God. All it takes is faith, like what a mustard seed, how small that is. You can barely see that. If they don't put in a little glass thing that you can see it, it's so small, you drop it, you can't find it. That's all God wants. It's just a little bit of faith to believe him. And look, David took him off running. He had that slingshot with one rock. And look, let me tell you, it took off. It took the Spirit of God to take that rock and put it right in the middle of his forehead. That's the Spirit of God. Trusting in God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, people. One rock, that's all it took. It killed the giant that stood out there for weeks, calling out the names of our God and degrading our God and cursing our God and cursing our people. Cursing the children of Israel, and all it took was one boy that had faith in God, that God would not forsake him, that God would be there for him. It took one rock to kill the giant. Sometimes the devil will make things look so big, and to God he's saying, look, one rock. Ooh, one rock. And it can be killed. That rock sunk into his forehead so far that he fell forward. And it says David came and took the sword out of Goliath's sheath. And it was so big and cut off his mantle. And like I said last week, I'm talking about, he didn't take the sword and lift it up. Because that would have been the act of David, lifting up David. But he took up the head and he said, look what God has done. Look, God will never forsake you. God will always be there. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Look at these scriptures. I want you to look at these. Look at Psalms 9, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 10. For they who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them who seek you. God will never forsake us. The devil will try to make you think that God is far away from you at times, but let me tell you, usually he's right there. Usually he's right there. Psalms 37, verse 28. For the Lord loves judgment. Talking about his Bible. And forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. For the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. That's a great scripture for you. All of it's good. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. our God will never forsake us. Our God will always be there for us. Our God sticks closer than a brother. He's there for us no matter what. Look, I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, people. Look at verse 16. It says, and when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship, and they were afraid. And when he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him unto the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land where they lived. Here Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he said, look, I want you to go over this to the other side of the lake. Go to the other side. Now you have to remember this. Did Jesus know that there would be a great storm that would rise up? Yes, he knew. Don't you think Jesus knows every aspect of our lives? I mean, he knows everything. You know, he just doesn't know today and maybe a little bit about tomorrow. He knows 2 years from now, our lives. He knows where we will be when we obey him, and where we will be if we don't. That's an amazing thing. So he keeps trying to bring us back to obedience unto him constantly, so we can be where he wants us to be. But here he tells him, go to the other side. Now Jesus had been preaching to his disciples. He's teaching them. And he says, okay, now I need you to go to the other side. Get into the ship, go. He said, I'm gonna go pray and do whatever. And all of a sudden, as they're on that ship, it says that the seas began to grow boisterous, stormy, and the winds and the waves were great upon the ship. Now, don't you think Jesus knew that they were in the ship? Don't you think Jesus knew the storm would rise up? What I'm trying to tell you is, every storm that rises up in your life, God knows is there. God knows it will come. God knows that it will come about, but God says he'll never forsake us no matter what. Hallelujah to the King. Oh, hallelujah to the King, that he will never forsake us. When we have hard times in our families, that God says he'll never forsake us. When we have hard times financially, maybe, that God says he'll never forsake us. When we have hard times on our jobs, that God says he'll never forsake us. When we have hard times, just whatever, that God says he'll never, ever, ever forsake us. If we get that down in our foundation, let me tell you, the devil doesn't like it, because he knows that you will trust God no matter what. No matter what God allows to come into our hearts or come into our lives to try to affect us in any way, that God is in control. That God is in control. And all of a sudden, that storm's rising up, and what does Jesus do? He's going to meet his people. No. Jesus comes to meet us. Those disciples were saying, man, where's Jesus? The storm is rising up. They tried to row the boat and all that stuff. They didn't get very far because of the storm that was pressing against them. How many times have we felt in our Christian walk that we're doing what God wants us to do? We're doing what God wants us to do as Christian etiquettes of reading our Bibles, praying, seeking God, coming to church, doing those things that we know are Christian etiquettes, they call it, that helps us with our spirit man in obeying God's word. But yet it seems like we hit a wall, and we hit a wall, and we hit a wall, and we hit a wall. Don't you think God knows we're hitting the wall? Because he told us to go in that direction. direction. He told us to go in that way. Don't you think he knows what's there and what's going on? Remember, God said he'll never forsake us. And all of a sudden, as they were trying to row that boat, trying to get it to the other side like Jesus commanded, because they had to do what Jesus told them to do. And just because Jesus tells us to do something doesn't mean it's going to be easy. When the Father calls us to do something by the Spirit of God, does not mean that it will be easy. Because you have yourself fighting against it sometimes. You have the enemy out there fighting against it. You have people out there fighting. Hey, but I tell you what. You and Jesus, you always win when you stay right by him. They were in that boat. They got to the other side. Because there was a man that started walking on the water called the second person of the Godhead, called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God that does all things, that started walking on that water to them, to meet them. And at first, they didn't know what it was. Can you imagine? Through the storm, man, they're getting weary. Oh, Lord, what's happening? All of a sudden, they see this figure coming, walking on the water. I know the scripture says it was Jesus, but they didn't know it at first. And all of a sudden, it was found out that it was Jesus. Can you imagine the peace of God that came over that boat? The peace of God that came over their spirit. The peace of God that came over them, their minds, and their spirits, and their souls, and their bodies. See, even when God tells you to do something, even when he tells me to do something, God is still with us. No matter if it gets hard, God is still with us. He said he'll never forsake us. Praise God. He'll never forsake us. Never. Never. And he walked on the water, got to the ship, got in that ship, and they went to the other side. And that storm just shut down. That's the power of Almighty God. We're living in a day and age where they say that miracles have been done away with. That things are not like, whatever, years ago. Let me tell you, we're still living in the day where God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he's did last, whatever he did 100 years ago, he can do today. He can do it no matter what. No matter what's going on in your heart, God can deliver you from it. By the Spirit of God, no matter what's going on in your mind, God can deliver you from it. No matter what's going on in your families, God can deliver you from it. No matter what's going on in the world, God can deliver us, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He never changes. My God. Praise God. That's why God says to come together. So to encourage one another in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To encourage one another. Say, hey, brother and sister, you can make it. You can do it. You can do it. Look what God showed me. Maybe this might help you a little bit. You know, whatever. But God will never forsake us, people. As we stand firm in the things of God. Can you imagine? They saw Jesus walking on the water. When he stepped that first foot in that boat. They had church right there. You think they shouted?
Yeah.
Oh. I think they shouted. They shouted because of the King of Kings and taking care. Some things are out of our hands, people. But I tell you what, in the hands of God, he can take care of all things. That's the kind of God we serve. God will never forsake us. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, God will never forsake us. God will never forsake, never. God says, "What? Seek me and you shall find me." What? Okay. God says, "Look for me and you shall find me." What? Okay, Lord. The power of Almighty God. You know that little poem talks about the footprints in the sand? Talks about how there was two sets of footprints. You know, you're talking about yourself. yourself here, and Jesus, you're just walking along. And all of a sudden, it ends up where there's only one set of footprints. And that's because why? They said because Jesus was carrying that other person. See, Jesus will do whatever it takes because he will never forsake his people. You know, you might say, well, you know, has he forsaken Israel? No, 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 no. He hasn't forsaken Israel. He's still coming for them. They can have a great revival one day. Maybe in the tribulation, they're going to have a great revival. Maybe in the millennium, they're going to have a great revival. But God is going to do something with them. God will never forsake us. I want you to look at these scriptures. I want you to turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Always remember this. Every person is just as important as every other person. Some may have a higher calling, you know, if you want to put it that way. But every person is the same, no matter where we are, you know, as far as Christians wise, serving the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 5, please. It said, there shall not any man be able to stand before you. That's God talking to Joshua. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Here we see, and I'm going to stop there just for a minute. Moses had just passed away and died, and God raised up Joshua. They didn't have a committee to say to vote on who was going to be the next leader. None of that stuff. God had already prepared Joshua because Moses, he knew Moses would be dying. God had raised up Joshua to take his place, to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And look, God spoke to Joshua and said, look at this verse. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. He's saying, Joshua, trust me. I'll never fail you, Joshua. Never. And I will never forsake you. I know sometimes it's hard to think of that God will never just put us away. But God will never do that. That God will always be there to draw his people. How many times have we kind of swayed a little bit and God in his loving kindness just said, come on now, get back. Use maybe somebody, a song or a scripture or something and just drew us back to where we needed to be. See, Joshua was now the leader and God was trying to tell Joshua, trust me, I'll never forsake you. Trust me, no man will be able to stand before you. That means no man will be able to stand before him and curse him. No man will be able to stand before him and say something against him and live. No man will be able to conquer him as he puts his faith and trust in God and what God can do. That's the same with us. As we put our faith and trust in God, let me tell you that there's no man, no woman, no organization that can stand against the things that God can do. As we put our faith and trust in him no matter what. And I know sometimes that's not the easiest thing, but I tell you what, that's the most beneficial thing. But go back, go down to verse 8 of that same chapter. Verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now look at this. Now the book of the law, now remember, the only books they had at that time was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the five books of the law. The books of the law that was given. And so he's telling them, do not depart, don't let them depart out of that mouth. Now we go by, Jesus did away with the law. That's been done away. That doesn't mean we don't follow those scriptures, but it has been done away because he fulfilled the law. Okay? And so now, you know, we follow the New Testament, which is a new covenant that God has given to the church. So, but he was telling them, follow the law and what I have given you. If you do not let it depart out of your mouth, that means talk about it. I mean, look, he would tell the Israelites, tell your children about how I took you out of Egypt. Tell your children about what I did for them. We are to speak the things of our God and what God has done for us. You know, before church, somebody was telling me how God had blessed them. Man, that encouraged me. How what God had done, how God intervened in that scenario. Thank you, Lord. We're to talk about those things that God has done for us. Because it encourages us. It encourages us that our God is alive and well and seated on the right hand of the Father. That the Son of God is there for us. Speak of those things, how God has blessed you. Speak about those things, how God has protected you. Speak about those things when you thought there was no hope, and God gave you hope and never forsook you in your time of need. How God was there. Probably every one of us could stand up and talk about the things of God, how he protected us physically. How God gave us direction. And sometimes we didn't even know it. How God protected our minds. How God protected our bodies. How God showed us his word and encouraged us. How we thought about going back to the things of the world. And God just came in and changed it. And brought us back to where we needed to be. God will never forsake us. He says, talk about those things, people. Don't be ashamed of the things of God. Don't be ashamed of the things of God. How many times you've been to, especially at work, and people talk about all kinds of stuff, including your breaks and when I just say, man, let me tell y'all something that God gave for me. But you want to shut that conversation down? Or you shut down very quickly. True. You see, they're praising what the devil has done and what the devil will do. Let's give praise unto our God. What God has done. Hallelujah! Yes. How he took us out of the miry clay and made us, what's the song? Out of miry clay. Is there our feet on the right path? I don't know, whatever. Whatever it is. Yeah. But praise God for a God that knows what we go through. Then don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. Don't let that word depart out of your mouth. The only way it can get in your mouth is by reading it. It's by studying it. It's by listening to it on the radio or whatever. To have that knowledge of the word of God. That thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You want to know why Christians make so many mistakes? You want to know why Christians do so many horrible things? Because they not meditate upon the word of God that says don't do that. You want to know why the body of Christ is full of people that are living together with no conviction? That's not good. Now, hey, people come into the church with a conviction of the Holy Ghost. Okay, God is working. That's a difference. Totally, I know. But just stay in that. Let me tell you, that's not good. Because the heart gets hard towards God. And God wants us to have a pure heart with you. We need to know that word. You might say, well, Pastor, we'll never know it all. No, we won't. But I tell you, let's meditate on it day and night if we can. Now, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, the only way that we'll know what to do in what is written in that word is if we read it and get it in us. It will change our lives. And we will see how God will never forsake us. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. God says we'll be prosperous. And I know the first thing we think of is money. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's true, probably. Prosperous, isn't it? But prosperous in every other way. Peace, love, joy, all those things. Prosperous in the things that God wants to give to us. Because we've done what His Word says. We meditated upon His Word. We got that Word in our hearts as we listen to Him day and night. And hey, look, I know we got to work and we got to do that. That's different. I understand that. But there are some times that we can take to meditate upon that Word so it can bring good success unto us. See, God will never forsake us, but we got to do what the Word says. We got to do what the Word says. We got to do what the Word says, and it will prosper the church of the living God. The body of Christ today is the richest it has ever been. You know that? I mean, rich. I mean, as far as material stuff, the body of Christ around the world is the richest it has ever been. Ever. I mean, mega buildings. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. You have to hold these people. You got to make a mega building to hold them. I mean, you know, that's just not accurate. But it's probably the poorest in the Spirit of God moving than ever before. Amen. Yeah. Or how we would go back to sitting on bales, huh? Or crates. And no air conditioning. No amen. But having the Spirit of God so evident in that place, which one would be taken? I'd like both. Have the air conditioning, have the nice chairs, and have the Spirit of God. Have it all. Hey, that's it. Just have it all. That, and look, we can have it all.
Amen.
Come on now. We can have it all. God says He'll never forsake us or leave us. The power of Almighty God is here for us. We can have it all. We can have whatever material stuff just so it doesn't have our hearts. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. Just so it doesn't have our hearts. And have the power of Almighty God come in to those places. Pray. I'm asking you to pray for this church in the morning. Noontime, at night. Pray. Ask the Spirit of God to move. Ask the Spirit of God to give us the healing for our inheritance. Ask the Spirit of God to give us what He wants us to have, claiming those things for us. And let God move like never before. Look, I want to be a giant killer. Huh? And I know you do too. We're tired of having our families hooked and baited by the things of the world, drugs, alcohol, evil. God can break those things as a spirit. God can break it if we want. That's the Spirit of God. God will never forsake His people. God will never forsake us. How great is He? How great is He? What a God we serve. Let's have it all, my boys. I love it. I love that. Let's just have it all, people. Let's have the Spirit of God. And let God be God. we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Let's stand and worship. Let's lift up our hands before our God this morning. Come on, let's worship Him. Oh, we give You praise. Come on, people, let's worship You. Tell Jesus how much you love Him. Tell the Father how much you care about Him. Praise and worship unto our God. Father, we worship You. We praise You and we honor You this day, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for who You are, Lord God. Lord God, we thank You that, Lord, we want to be the army used by the living God. Lord God, we want to be Gideon's army. Lord, help us to be Gideon's army, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, to do battle for the kingdom of God. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to do the things that You've called us to do. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to accomplish what You want us to accomplish this day, Lord. Lord, we praise You. We honor You. We glorify Your name, Lord. Jesus, we praise and glorify You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise and glory and honor unto our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know many of you have family members that don't know God. Take a picture of them that you already have. Lay hands on it and pray over it. You've done that already. I know we've done that too. You take those pictures and you claim it, and you take that scripture in Psalms that He is your inheritance, our sheep. Look, let me tell you, Jesus is coming soon, people. There's no messing around here. No messing around. Jesus is coming. And we want to bring as many people as we can into the kingdom when He comes. Take those people and just pray with them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We claim their souls for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. What a God we serve, people. Let me tell you, what a God we serve. I mean, as every head is bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, please. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have not done so and you'd like to do so today, would you please raise your hand? Just want to make sure. Praise God. Everybody here is doing. Let's pray the prayer together, because we have people that may be watching Facebook. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept You as the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again from the dead, and You're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept You as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Just another reminder, don't forget Saturday at 9 o'clock. If you're able to, please get the rod so you'll know if you're able to come, and or equipment to help you in this step. And look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We love you, and we pray the blessings of God upon your life this week. Remember this, God loves you. I know that seems like, you know, like, oh, man, but God loves you. Maybe your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle, you know, they might have said some mean things to you. Or whatever. But I tell you what. Don't go by what they say. Go by what God says in His word. You're a child of God, and God loves you. And also, Joanne and I, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. You are dismissed, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. God bless you. Oh.